yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addie.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and I'm going to try my best here. I mean, the wrestling world needs what I'm going to try and bring. What we got to bring to this show is a little bit of positivity, some energy, some happiness.
Happiness.
Some good feelings because, let's face it, it's...
Good vibrations.
It's pretty rough out there right now with... You know how things are, the products, nothing's grabbing me and everything like that, but we've got to find something today.
Yes, we got to be just energy positive. We can do that. We can do that. Vern Gagne passed away last week. He was 79 years old.
Is that all? I thought he was older.
No, he's really fucking old.
Yeah, no, I thought he was older than that.
Oh, he thought he was even older than that.
Yeah.
Maybe he was 89.
I think he was 89 years
old. Okay, he was 89 years old, as I said.
Yeah, I think probably, like that old. He was old.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at him.
I mean, he's so old. And that was like in the 50s.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not a positive thing. Well, actually, to some of the people who, considering the way some people felt about him.
That's true. That's true. But, I mean, he was...
A polarizing figure, if there ever was one, in the world of professional wrestling.
That's true. He made his mark. One of the first television stars.
No, Greg. He made his Greg.
Oh. Should have made a mark. But
Eddie Graham's who should have made a mark.
Mmm. That's true. Have you seen Mike Graham? He did make a mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
One of the first television stars on the Dumas network.
Dumas.
Oh.
We'll get into that.
We'll get there.
You guys don't understand that joke.
But that is funny.
That's a little inside, but you will eventually.
Yes,
eventually get it, guys. I promise.
Yes, he was a big star. Commercials, just the one of the young baby faces of television when it first came out.
Yeah, exactly.
But
one of the most exposed guys on TV.
Yes.
Yeah. Not like Naked Midian, but...
No. Thank God.
Yeah.
But I think his biggest... he owned the AWA, created the AWA.
I hope this doesn't come across on the air. I'm going to pour myself some beverage, some Coke Zero here.
Oh, some Coca-Cola Zero.
Yeah.
But who could have heard that?
Nope. Wait.
But I think the biggest, to me, the biggest claim... Oh, what's it?
Now, where's the rum?
Huh? What? Where's your mom? I think the biggest thing that Vern Gagne did, though, really, was as a trainer.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's where... I mean, I didn't get a chance to see a lot of AWA. Mostly, I mean, my first exposure to AWA, as it was for a lot of these things... living here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, was through the After Mags, PWI, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and The Wrestler and other ones like that. That's where I found out there was this, like, I didn't know, I mean, I'm watching Stampede Wrestling.
Yeah.
And then the Stampede Wrestling gets bought out by WWF at the time.
That Vince McMahon guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I stopped watching wrestling until a friend of mine tells me that it's got a bunch of the Stampede Wrestling guys on there. So I start watching it. And, I guess to see this world champion, Hulk Hogan, who I'm told is so awesome, and I see him, and it's my first time, and I'm like, yeah, his charisma grabs me. I pick up these After magazines. That's where I found out there was other world champions.
Yeah.
And this blew my mind. And so, I mean, I think at the time, the world champion actually, first time I picked up one of these magazines was actually Rick Martel.
I was going to say Ricky Martel in 1986.
Yeah. Rick Martel, I believe, would have been the champion, and then... I'm like, well, he's got to be good. He's got to be as good as Hogan. And then this Ric Flair guy that the magazines really were putting over, right?
Yes.
It's like the best of them all.
I heard of him.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's my first exposure to AWA. I mean, it's later on that I really got an appreciation for, I mean, he was on ESPN Classics, the AWA programming. And
I think it still is.
It still is. And saw a little bit there. And I watched a little bit on YouTube.
It really is. Most of that AWA Classic stuff, though, is the older shit, like the Team Challenge series, and just the
this is not when the you know they were at their best by any means.
We'll call it I don't know. I'd call it horse shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not very good. You know, and but again, yeah, I've watched some on some from the 70s and some from the early 80s and before they kind of lost their way a little bit on YouTube too. And
mm-hmm.
and it was a good wrestling product. There was a lot of good wrestling products in like the late 70s, early 80s.
Well, yes.
Most of the territories were good. You know, there was a lot of good wrestlers, and because they kind of would move around and freshen things up, it was cool.
Yeah, some great matchups in about that 86 era, like Mr. X against Jose Luis Rivera.
Yeah, WWF was giving us that classic.
I gotta tell you quickly, just as a side note of the episode of Primetime that I watched there, that I showed you the Honky Tonk Man babyface promo from. I'd watched that episode this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The matches literally were, you had Jose Luis Rivera and Mr. X, Jerry Allen against Tiger Chung Lee.
Who was the first guy I saw Hulk Hogan against.
Yeah. Paul Roma against Terry Gibbs.
Wow.
This was the first hour of the show.
Wow.
These were the matches. And a Junkyard Dog.
Complain about now.
Yeah. And I think a Junkyard Dog, Greg Valentine match from 2 years earlier.
Yeah.
They're like, that match 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah, that sounds about right, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
But, anyway. But, I mean, you look at the list, the laundry list of guys that went through Vern Gagne's training camp, and you're talking about the Iron Sheik, Ken Patera, Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, mm-hmm. Sergeant Slaughter, Jim Brunzel.
Yeah. Iron Sheik, did you mention?
Yeah, I mentioned Sheiky. Some great guys. And Brad Reagan.
Superstar Billy Graham.
Yeah, Billy Graham.
Kurt Hennig.
Yes, Kurt Hennig, that's right.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He, as a trainer...
Yeah.
Stu Hart and Vern Gagne... I see a lot of similarities in them, you know, both as personalities and promoters. Vern had more success, both as a wrestler and as a person, promoter. But, I mean, both were great trainers. And in many ways, that's their ultimate legacy of both of them.
Yes.
And so, see him as again, here in Calgary, right? Mm-hmm. So, Vern Gagne to me was always kind of like the America's Stu Hart. And, of course, America's bigger than Canada. So he was bigger than Stu Hart. But that's kind of how I always saw it.
Stu Hart, though, I might add. Never Stampede Wrestling champion.
Stu Hart was never champion of Stampede. I mean, that was one thing. Vern Gagne made himself champion. Hey, it's understandable to some degree. He probably was the legit biggest star.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could argue that, nobody's a bigger star in TNA than Jeff Jarrett. But Stu Hart still came about, was a big star. Would have been easy to make himself champion.
I would have
never
said,
once made himself champion.
It's true.
As promoter when he opened Stampede Wrestling in 1948.
And I will correct you, when Jeff Klondike Jarrett
wrestling
when,
in the
when,
early days.
When Jeff Jarrett was the TNA champion, I would argue that Cheeks a bigger star. The thing with Vern, you go on later, had the dementia later in life, killed that guy.
Yeah, it was a 97-year-old guy at the rest home.
Yeah, like,
and
they
got into an argument. They threw him down, but he didn't remember doing it. It was a homicide. He was already, like, in dementia in his 80s because he was in his 80s, you see.
Yeah.
Not in his 70s.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
He's in his 80s.
So it was weird that he died when he was 79.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, he really didn't remember doing it.
Also, Vern Gagne, best known for being the original Benjamin Button. Did something in his 80s and died in his 70s. See?
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Nope.
No. Adeline? No.
Nope.
Okay. So it's sad. I mean, it lived a long life. It's sad when anybody passes, but of course, it was.
But look, I mean, we talk about his.
Hulkamania, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he created and promoted Hulkamania before Vince took it and just turned it into the machine.
That's true. He did. He created Hulkamania, and they had great success there.
Yeah.
And Vince has always been Vince. I mean, even on the Stone Cold podcast, he talked about how Vern wasn't the brightest. I think he called him not the brightest branch in the tree or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, he still holds it against him. He did to Vince. Vince did to Vern what what Eric Bischoff what Eric did to him.
Vince, exactly.
But except for when he did it, it was all right.
It was, yeah, it was okay. Fine. It was because Vern was out of touch. Yeah. You that was the difference.
And let's talk about the greatest thing that they ever gave us.
King Mabel, T.L. Hopper. You know, Vern was out of touch.
Vern was out of touch. But let's talk about the greatest thing AWA ever gave us. If it wasn't for AWA, we wouldn't have this. And,
oh, yes. My name's Greg Gagne, and I'm in a rage. I want Brody, and I want him in a cage.
Spoiler alert!
Wow, this is great.
I'm loving it. Here we go. Where's the next part?
Is that Ken Resnick?
I think so. With the Midnight Rockers, Sean and Morty, we love to wrestle. We love to party. You don't have to worry, we're not gonna bumble, because we'll be shaking through the Wrestle Rock Rumble. Oh, yeah, we're listening to the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
There's no way we're turning away from this. That's not funny. I got my army a lot of money. If Gunny in my way, I'll make him come both. He be sorry. I did the Wrestle Rock Rumble.
Oh, he's got good rhythm.
That might be the worst, yeah. The rockers were bad. What the hell was that?
Some chick.
Woo! You have to see the video with it.
When they get out of the pool, right?
Yeah.
How much longer is this?
What are you talking about? This is gold. Fuck, he was good, actually.
Well, yeah,
I wonder what the best rapper would be. Nick Bockwinkel is 77 years old already.
There's Sean. Oh, here comes Slaughter.
Kamala.
Is that...
He was into it, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Larry Zbyszko. Actually wasn't bad either. He was a boxer, right? Legit.
Yes. It is Ken Resnick. Good lord.
So for some reason that I can't figure out, AWA eventually went out of business.
Yes, we don't know why. It has nothing to do with Vern Gagne rapping that he's 80 or he's 60 years old or 50 years old.
Oh, he's like 60 something there, yeah.
He's contemplating another comeback via rap form. So who'd have thunk?
So some people said he was out of rock touch, but that proves that it wasn't the case.
That's true. See? He knew rap.
Really wrote those lyrics himself.
He had his big Coke bottle glasses as he's reading the rap script too, which is great.
That's awesome. Yes. All right. What else you got on your notes? I think we've covered AWA. Probably the best coverage of AWA and Vern Gagne's passing anywhere on the net, I would say.
That's true. That's true. What about the King of the Ring?
Oh, I didn't watch it.
Did anybody? And why would you miss this event, this 1 hour, five match event, or three match event with three of the toughest 5 minute matches that you will ever see in a King of the Ring?
I think you just explained why I didn't watch it.
My, somebody tweeted me and told me that, Wade Barrett is king.
Mm-hmm.
And my text back to that, or my tweet back to that person is, no, sir. Stannis Baratheon is the one true king.
True.
Yeah.
True, yeah.
Wade Barrett, the king of the
ring. Who's the bastard son there that was like the, he like made the armor or something like that. He was like an apprentice, and we haven't seen him since like season one.
Yeah.
Hey, wouldn't he be the true king? I haven't seen him though since like season one.
No, I know.
You know who I'm talking about though?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I'm like, did they just forget that, or did they? I mean, what is this? WWE?
What the hell? They just dropped a storyline?
He started an angle. It's intriguing. And he just dropped it without a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just gone.
I know.
Gone.
Yeah.
Fuck. But. So Wade Barrett is the King of the Ring.
Okay.
Next.
Yeah.
I gotta laugh.
You notice how they stopped calling him Bad News Barrett largely anyways lately?
I know, yeah.
So,
yeah. We need to laugh.
Oh. Well, finally.
We need to laugh.
Okay, I'll play it again. I'll find it again and play it again.
I am going to.
Where was it? What was it called? Russell Rock Rumble?
No, don't do it. Don't do it! Here's a quote.
Okay.
From Bill Goldberg. And I quote, Kevin is an extremely intelligent guy who can probably book wrestling shows better than anyone else.
Kevin Sullivan?
Kevin Nash. They're handing out wrestling brains, and Mr. Goldberg, you're next. Holy fuck! He actually believes that. So remember how this put saying, "Okay, with Goldberg Hall of Fame." You know, Goldberg maybe.
Well, I mean, Nash is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, of course, sure. But Goldberg going to the Hall of Fame, you know, maybe 2016, 2017 kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's a big guy that they could promote around the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, Bill Goldberg. You stay as far away from wrestling as humanly possible. Because he actually believes that, proves that he should just leave and never come back. And we should never talk, speak, nor hear about Bill Goldberg ever again.
Now, I will say this. It would be interesting to see Kevin Nash book wrestling when he can't wrestle. When he can't put himself on top. And his buddies on top. If he like went into some place he didn't know people, evaluated the talent, and because he's a smart guy. I mean, ask him. He's a genius IQ.
So you think he should go into a place and book where he doesn't know anyone? Yeah. Like maybe Nitro?
Where he can book himself on top and his buddies?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, but no, I mean, it'd be interesting to see, because he's not a dumb guy.
He is not a dumb guy, but he is not a, I don't see it. He had his chance. And he had the shot, Tony, and he blew it.
Alright.
I'm going to save the TNA laughs for later.
It'll be tough to top that one.
Global Force Wrestling.
Yeah.
They're going to have like 14 shows or something.
What network?
That's the thing. They're gonna have 14 live events that they're taping.
Yeah.
For fun.
Yeah. And they'll put them on the internet?
Probably. The Global Force Wrestling Network? Maybe?
Yeah.
Fuck.
$1.99 a month.
The state charges $1.25. Gonna have Roderick Strong.
Okay, who else?
Shelton Benjamin.
All right.
Chris Masters.
All right.
And Team 3D.
Hmm.
And a whole host of others. Sanjay Dutt is in the office.
Oh, good.
So, Sanjay Dutt and Scott D'Amore are the ones...
Who?
In the office.
Scott D'Amore, I don't know that name.
No?
No.
Scott D'Amore's?
I want some s'mores now.
Scott D'Amore's. Hey there.
Ah, yes.
Hey, you coming for dinner on Thursday?
Nah, I don't know. Probably not. Why?
Because
You're going to be there, right?
Well, I was just... Yeah, I'm going to be there.
So that's probably a good reason to avoid it.
We're going for Owen Hart's birthday.
I know.
And we're going to Big T's because if we're going to Owen Hart's birthday, we're going to eat ribs. Mm. And screw you, Tatanka. We have a reservation.
Dude, Big T, that's because Big T, he won that name. From Booker T, right?
That's right. He won the name T. Ahmed Johnson owns the restaurant.
Yeah.
I understand that they were going to cease operations, and Ahmed came out and yelled to everybody, "We're closing down! We're closing down!" Actually, but nobody understood, so they just kept coming.
It wasn't "we're closing." It was "we're closing down! We're closing down!"
Yeah, and no one understood, so they just kept coming.
Yeah.
And the restaurant just has kept operations to this day.
Well, and also, Kelly was there. Another reason why they kept coming.
That's true. That's true. And they paid a lot of people under the table.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. So that's Global Force Wrestling.
Okay. So let me talk about those Owen Hart ribs.
Oh! Yeah, those are great. So should we do them all now?
Let's space them out over the show.
Space them out. All right. So let's talk about an Owen Hart rib here. Let's talk about Michael Cole and his first day as a WWF personality. And he's about to go live on his first interview with Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
This would have been 97, I guess, probably.
96, maybe?
Maybe 96. 96, yeah. 96, actually, probably. So he's wearing the tuxedo that they all wear or whatever back in the day. And right before they went on the air, Owen and the Bulldog took a whole liter of Coke and poured it down the back of Michael Cole right before they're about to go live.
Okay.
And then he had to do his stay in character and do the interview with an entire liter of Coke in his pants. And that was that was Michael Cole's "Welcome to the World Wrestling Federation" from Owen.
I guess, give us one more.
All right, we'll do one more. We may have talked about this one, but Owen and the Bulldog convinced a couple of cops to pull Lex Luger over when Luger and Owen were riding with Lex. Everything was fine until the cops were walking away, and then Smith yelled out, "Blow it out your arse!" And the cops turned back to the car, demanded Luger get out of the car, handcuffed Luger, and refused to listen to his pleas of innocence. Only after Luger was sufficiently terrified did Owen Smith, along with the cops, reveal that this was a ruse. Apparently Vince thought this was very funny.
It's the type of thing he would.
Yes. Yeah. Those are a couple of Owen Hart ribs.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about some more as we go.
How many more topics we got here?
I got a few. Okay. Anal backwards.
I like to call her anal.
Yeah. She is about, as we can all see from television, it's blatantly obvious that she will be a babyface soon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Apparently the plan right now is for her to not only turn babyface, but as part of the babyface turn, to
reveal that she's American.
I was American all along.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe even possibly use a different name.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's still up in the air. She might go with CJ, because I forget what her real name is, but the initials are CJ.
I don't know. I always say she's like Portuguese or something like that. It's like her actual background.
Well, then I think she should go by the name Aldo.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, so that's the plan.
CJ Manowar?
CJ Manowar. Now, my question for you is, without anal, how does Rusev do?
He'll be fine.
You think so?
I think so. I think she's a good part of the act. I think I could see them eventually back together again. He's somebody who, like the thing is, he's going to evolve. I mean, I could see a babyface run for him down the road eventually. I think the thing is, he's
and he could wear like both American and Russian flags on his tights.
Sure,
that always works.
That always works. But no, I mean, I think he'll be fine because I'm impressed with him. I mean, his work is good. His work is improving. His facials, his promos are better than I ever thought would have thought.
It's the promo that I've been most impressed with because that was the sort of that part of the package that if he's been talking more lately and and it's still been working.
Yeah, exactly. And his ability, like you say, that moment when the flag didn't come down, like his ability to ad lib and improvise has impressed me enough. Do I think it has as much potential as keeping them together? No, I mean, she'd have to really take off as the face of the female division, which is the plan.
Yes.
For this to work. Because otherwise, he's going to still be fine, but probably not quite at the heights he would be at.
Well, you said it.
But I mean, we already said this. Even if she's with him, now that he's lost, and he's lost that whole thing, where do they go with him anyways?
Well, here's my
thing. I mean, when does he be... Keep in mind, I mean, Wade Barrett didn't lose either when he was facing John Cena until Cena finally beat him, and now he can't win a fucking match.
Well, here's the thing, and I also, that's...
Actually, he's king of the ring.
Wait, he's king of the ring. Exactly. It's fucking, and like, Sheamus before him, and Mabel. His career knows no bounds. Of course, Mabel, you know, the reason he didn't, his career didn't take off, concussions. But I think... The thing that I look at, and you used Wade Barrett, I was going to use Bray Wyatt as the example. House of Fire coming in, loses to Cena 17 times in a row, and has never gotten anything back.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, there's a million guys like that.
But now, you couple it with... He basically has that Bray Wyatt and that Alberto Del Rio wrapped all in one. As soon as Alberto and Ricardo split, that was never the same. So now you have that great act, and for some reason, because this act has been around for a year, it's time to break them up.
Well, that's the thing that I find most frustrating consistently with the WWE is if you're a tag team for 8 months, or you're managing somebody for a year, or whatever. That's it. It's like nothing's. There's nothing wrong with keeping people together for years.
To quote the great
Mo. Mo.
Right, great singer.
Uh-huh.
Whose name I'm just trying to remember right now.
Well, say the song and I'll tell you if I remember.
Hey, things like this.
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. It's like I'm not.
Things like this.
All we are saying is give teams a chance. Just give some fucking teams a chance.
All we are saying.
But no, I think a couple of, between the split off of Lana being the star of the act, right, in Vince's mind, and the fact that Rusev is on this losing streak, and what if they're focusing all, if Vince goes and says, give me, I want 8 ideas for Lana,
yeah,
but he doesn't want any for Rusev.
Then he's fucked.
Then Rusev's fucked, coupled with the fact that, so that's where I see, I see us having this conversation in November, December.
Is Rusev talented enough? Sure, but he still needs... He needs something strong spinning out of this Cena thing. In order to have something strong spinning out of the Cena thing, you need a strong baby face. Mm-hmm. Like you say, other than Orton, there is nobody. I mean, Daniel Bryan would have been good too, but he's obviously not an option. So, I mean, you just don't have anybody else.
I'm hoping that we don't have the conversation, but I expect to be having a conversation in November,
but
December.
But I mean,
what can we rehab Rusev?
Can you? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But keep in mind, the last guy or last female they thought would be the face of the division and really take off for them was AJ. You know.
Yeah.
Like I don't even think. I mean, I don't think Lana has. I mean, it's Vince McMahon's idea. Well, nobody's going to want to cheer a hot blonde, you dummy.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's. I mean, they're doing the Deborah thing with her, obviously. I mean, we said it at the pay-per-view there, that as soon as he got sent away, we're like, oh, it's Deborah.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, she already dresses like her.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? So, that's, I mean, again, it's, I hope it doesn't happen, but I fear it will.
I hope she doesn't end up marrying Steve Austin.
No.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Jesus. Or Floyd Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, that's going to be interesting. That leads us to our question by Stephen Ajami.
Who?
AJ. You mentioned him earlier.
Oh.
He wanted to know what we think about Triple H's support of Floyd Mayweather, given his domestic violence history.
It's funny you should ask that. I'm currently writing a blog on that.
Are you?
Yeah. So I probably won't go into it too much here.
Mm-hmm.
The blog, though, is going to cover not just their support of Mayweather. I find it pretty, you know. And it would be a different type of blog for us, because it is a much more serious subject, and I'm going to try and write it in a different style. Maybe more like a journalistic piece.
You mean you're going to use punctuation?
And spell check. But, it's not just Floyd Mayweather. It's a long history of WWE for 30 years, honestly, allowing domestic violence.
For the sake of violence.
To turn a blind eye to it if it's financially the best move for them, despite the public sayings.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I think that... I would be distancing myself from it, but as you'll go into in the blog, I think the history of just wrestling, not just WWF, but the history of wrestling, I mean, dictates that that you don't. And I that again, when you say two wrongs don't make a right, you know, 17 wrongs don't make a right either. But I understand that they're not thinking twice about it, given that mentality, but I don't think that mentality is correct.
Exactly. It's time to change the mentality is just kind of the point.
Exactly.
I mean, even when they used him in 2008, at that point, he'd already had several domestic charges.
But China can't be in the Hall of Fame because she's been in porn.
Yeah.
Right? I mean...
Yeah. Well, and Mike Tyson's a rapist.
Yeah, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Right? And so, there you go. It's
there you go, yeah. And never mind what... never mind... Jimmy Snuka, right? Like,
yeah, Snuka's in the Hall of Fame too.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah. All right.
Also, Twin Blady. While we're in questions here, sorry, Twin Blady would like to know: the WWE product will probably suck until Raw after Money in the Bank. Are they missing a trick by not having Heyman on TV?
Well,
the answer with that is always yes.
Well, yes and no. I mean, if Heyman's just going to talk about Lesnar, is it going to be good? Yes. Would it get repetitive? Yes. Has it ever worked when he's gone with anybody else? The closest was Punk. But even then, that didn't work as well as it does with Lesnar. I mean, the fact is that they don't know what to do with him. Otherwise, there's a lot of people that they could bring in that you're like, this would be a good fit with Heyman, and then push him. And let it get over. People both people outside the company, people within the company, wherever. But, I mean, it's failed every time. Curtis Axel failed. Cesaro failed. Yeah. I don't see any reason to have him on, just have him fail again.
No, that's true. That is true. I think, could I do it? Yeah, in a heartbeat. You know, could you come up with a stable of young talent that... not even necessarily young talent, but a stable of talent.
They own the Dangerous Alliance.
Yeah.
There's no reason they can't do the Dangerous
Alliance. Bring back Larry. Yeah.
Well, no, but exactly what they did there. You know?
Well, you could do Kid and Cesaro. You could
you could do Kid and Cesaro and a bunch of people. Unfortunately, already to some degree, you have one heel stable group, and they don't want a second one. And that's the Authority.
That's right. That's true. Exactly. And that has
Kane. And it's a mess.
And by the way, fuck Kane.
I think we kept on talking about how on Sunday how he was 47 years old. Well, that's one of your notes.
That's one of my notes.
Fuck Kane.
Cash that out. Fuck Kane.
Kane, fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Fuck off! Fuck off! Did I mention... Yeah, we kept on talking about him being 47. That was his 48th birthday.
In a
on
row?
Sunday. 48.
Wow. 40-effing-8.
He was 48 years old.
Also, I'd like to announce while we're on the topic of Twitter questions, you called him Dan Leopold last show.
That was you.
It's Dan Leopard.
I think that
was you. Like the cat. You called him Dan Leopold. I apologize for Mo. And Dan Leopard, like the cat... Dan Ernest Miller, I would like to apologize for Mo and his actions. They in no way represent the We Talk Wrestling or We Talk Podcast organization. The expressed views were those of Mo and Mo alone. And Dan, I sincerely apologize. Dan the Cat Miller.
It was you, actually.
It was me all along?
Yeah. Your dog's happy.
He is. He's a happy, happy fuck.
Yeah.
Now, let's go on
to... Let me close the door. I got the door.
All right, you got the door?
Move the next topic.
All right. The next topic is... by the way, the World Wrestling Federation Network, it's
free
in May. Why the fuck would anybody sign up for this thing? It's always free.
Yeah. This keeps working, obviously.
It just, well, but the thing was, is that apparently people have been told that the people that got the free April are also getting it free in May. Like, it's just continuing to be free for them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe it was that they're like, well, nobody's going to stay after that last pay-per-view.
Yeah.
We better do better on this one, and they won't.
No, because it's payback.
Yeah.
It's a fucking three-way.
Yeah.
It's... Yeah. Fuck. And the fact is, again, that what they're missing the boat was 48-year-old Kane.
Yes.
48-year-old Kane, to go back to that, is the focal point of this fucking show. Mm-hmm. And nobody gives a fuck about Kane. Who could possibly give a fuck about Kane? Nobody. Like, Kane's parents are passed away, so they don't give a fuck about Kane. You know, and it's just...
His wife and kids?
Hmm? What?
What?
No.
No.
They don't care. They want to be supportive, but then they watch the show and they're like, this is fucking awful. Like, Jesus Christ. It's just...
As ratings plummet.
Plummet. 2.6 or something did they have?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've said this before. I mean, they're coming off this great profit quarter.
Mm-hmm. What's the mania?
9.8 million
yeah.
Profit, and everybody's like, and it's gonna just go up from here,
no,
because now they got a certain amount of base for their network.
It's all
1.3 million.
It's all about the base,
and no trouble.
A little bit of trouble.
I think they're in a little bit of trouble coming up, and I mentioned, like I said, and everybody's saying, well, you know, this is the deals, the financial deals, the new television deals have kicked in, and they're gonna escalate.
The thing is I recrunched the numbers, and like, it's not looking good. Like, they're down to 5 billion years.
I tell you, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah, I am. They just lost 1 billion years.
This business will be in business for it.
Yes.
Everybody says that, you know, I mean, like I say, I mean, you got your base of your foundation now with the network, and you got your escalating deals. And the problem is, what happens when Raw gets down to it? Because they're losing 10% a year. And because, I mean, remember, probably like 4 years ago, you and I said, oh, it's just, this is bad. The way they're doing this, this is so boring.
Because they switched to a money-spending strategy. That was about 4 years ago. Remember when they called it the cash in the coffers?
Yes, well, but about that time, 4 years ago.
Yes.
And this was when there's still 2 hours. You and I were predicting in the summer they're going to go down to like a 2.3 rating.
That's right.
And, of course, that never happened.
No.
But we're not wrong. We're just wrong in the timeline. They're going to go down to like a 2.3, 2.2 rating.
Yeah.
It's trending down. It's a lot more slow. It's not something that can happen quickly like we had thought. Like, people just, it's because it's a habit. But what was it of the last, I don't know, 6 months is, we'll say 24 shows, okay, 24 Raws. How many of them have been good? Five?
That many, huh?
Oh, seriously?
Maybe five.
Okay. If you are watching Modern Family or NCIS or Game of Thrones or whatever else, and an entire season happened, and only 20% of the shows you're watching were good, would you keep watching it?
Well, you know, I have an example, actually, of that. And that's The Simpsons. The Simpsons just stopped being good, and I still recorded it. And in many cases, I still watched it. But then, and it was only 20 minutes or whatever without the commercials. And I remember, for the longest time, I just kept commenting. I'm like, I don't even know why I watch this show anymore. Yeah. Like, I watch it. I don't hate it, but I don't get entertained that oh, you need to see this on The Simpsons. That thing that we used to do when Conan O'Brien was writing it. And we'd meet back and talk about it after the fact. But it was, there's this point where now, like, I don't even record it anymore.
No, you don't miss it.
No.
And the same thing happened with me, the exact same thing. Exact same pattern with that.
Yeah.
With The Simpsons. And so it just becomes like that. And WWE, it's like, so I don't know if they're going to lose maybe 5% next year, and then maybe 5%, and then maybe 10%. But eventually, you erode it slowly. And unless something turns around, and there's nothing that's going to turn around.
The thing is, as far as that television money, that's the part where that's what's saving them right now in terms of, their ratings can go down, but it's not really about their ratings per se. It's about 3 hours of they're considering non-PVRable programming.
Yes.
Live television. And that's what they consider to be a premium right now, because you don't skip the commercials because you're watching live.
Which is what USA is essentially paying for.
Exactly.
But keep in mind, USA is also now going to have a SmackDown. So now it's 5 hours in the same network of the same type of programming.
Yes.
And they have to step the quality of SmackDown up.
I wonder if it's going to go live.
Like, I don't know if it's going to go live, but I know the quality of the programming needs to go up from what it has been from SmackDown.
Wow. Yes and no. I mean,
that's what they're paying them for in this situation.
Sort of, but
they want the same ratings as Raw.
I know, but I look at the fact.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They used to be able to do two-hour shows, 4 hours a week, and make both entertaining. There was a period where they could.
Oh yeah, yeah, there was. But that was also. I mean,
but now we're on, does the one extra hour make that big a difference?
Let's talk about the guy that.
It's not that. It's not just the one extra hour. This is deeper than that.
Yeah, I would argue though that the. The one fellow that, I mean, you had your Chris Kresge as well that really wrote, you know, was able to maintain and write entertaining wrestling program in the year 2000. But, I mean, one of the reasons that, you know, as much as he's a dick and a cancer in the world, that Vince Russo left was because of SmackDown. And he was working his balls off for 2 hours of Raw, and then they handed him 2 more hours, and he's like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, but that has to do with his crash TV mentality, that I can't crash through 4 hours. You're going to have to ask me to slow down, gasp, and fucking take my time with shit now that I got twice as much time, which is what Chris Kresge was able to do.
But that's the thing. They're going to have to tie Raw and SmackDown in. They can't even give us a good Raw. So why would we think they can give us a good SmackDown?
Well, they do that now. I mean, Roman Reigns pins the world champion on SmackDown, and everybody's talking about it on Raw.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Wait. What?
Huh? Never happened.
Huh.
No, I mean, again, this is where I go back to, I think they're in trouble, and I still do. When your rating gets down to a 2.2, that's when they're going to drop an hour. That's when USA is going to say, all of a sudden, you're not worth the money. Now your rating isn't worth the money, you're not worth the money, you're going to drop an hour. And then they're going to cancel the show when they're down to like a 1.9.
They're not going
to cancel. Yes, they are. No, they can be canceled like any other television show.
Of course they can, but not with Bonnie Hammer in charge. They're not going to cancel.
Trust me, if the amount of money they spend escalates and the ratings continue to fall, and we're talking about converging lines going in opposite directions,
you are
eventually going to get to the point where it's just not worth it for them. And then without that deal, they're fucked. And that's why I say they are in trouble, because they don't give us a good show, because the ratings are going down. And it has to catch up with them eventually. And in order to turn around, they don't have a clue how to do it. There's so many problems.
Well, 2 points with that. The sad part to me is that the unfortunate part here is, like you said, that they're going to... I mean, when they introduced Main Event, Main Event got the the rub at first, right? For like doing all this stuff. Exactly. For like a month and a half. And that's what I said, where SmackDown will come in. The sad part is, though, the best that SmackDown has been in the last 5 years is when Vince doesn't give a fuck about it.
That's true.
And he's leaving it alone.
It still had largely had its own roster.
And exactly. And it was still, but it was...
It was the wrestling show.
It was the wrestling show. But now Vince is going to be hands-on with it, right?
Which is not good.
Which is detrimental to it. But what I think, to my point with that, with the fact that the WWE has a relationship with the USA Network, it happened before 22 years ago, or 23 years ago at this point, and I think it will happen again, given the pattern, is that primetime wrestling did not get canceled. They said, primetime wrestling is no longer working on our network.
Yeah.
We need to change. Vince McMahon was not the driver of that change. The USA Network was a driver that changed.
That's not the story they tell you.
No.
But that's the truth.
But that's the truth. And that was just that. And so that is what will happen again. Mm-hmm. When Raw is no longer a viable product for them, they're going to go, you got to do fucking something with this show.
Yeah, we're going to cancel SmackDown. We're going to give you 2 hours of wrestling a week.
Yeah.
And you give us a different name. We're going to rebrand it and go and start doing something new.
Exactly.
And that's what they're going to do.
And that's how it's going to happen.
But at that point in time, though, they're going to have a lot less money coming in for rights fees. And then they're fucked. That's what I'm saying.
Well, yes, but I'm also...
And to do that now, if you're not going to get rid of Raw because you still have all these international agreements and everything.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you can amend those agreements.
I hope so.
Very easily.
But what are you
going to do?
Thing.
What are you going to go to the United Arab Emirates and say, do you want the old show Raw or do you want this new exciting show? We want the new one. That's how they fucking promote it. That would happen. Okay. Worst case scenario.
Some people will say we paid for this brand. There will be some people that do.
Yeah.
The Raw brand is still seen as valuable. And obviously, I mean, otherwise, why would they get the money they got in India? Right?
Well, but then, I mean, that's an easy fix, though. I mean, that's...
Let's hope so. But like I say, I think that's where eventually you're getting is to the point where they're going to have to cut back down to 2 hours, 3 hours maybe total. Maybe two shows, maybe one show that's 2 hours. Not one three-hour show and not two shows. They're going to be cut back to the point that the ratings don't make any sense. And once you get down to one show that's 2 hours, the ratings will probably go back up, I think. Probably go up to like a 2.7, 2.8. Not huge, but they'll slowly rise back up.
I don't know. It's difficult.
Because you'll be able to put on a better show.
It's difficult. No, they won't.
And if they're doing one two-hour show a week, they'll be able to put on a better show.
They will be able to. Well, they will have enough. They will have the better parameters to do so.
This is all going to take place over years. Yes. This is not going to be...
Well, the contract deal kicks in now, and it's a 5-year deal.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. 2020 here is really when...
I think the ratings might be so low by 3 years from now that it makes that we start to see some movement on it.
Yeah.
But this is what's going to happen. And that's why I say that they're in trouble. Everybody's like, they're going to be fine. They're going to make so much money because of the network and because of the TV deals. Mm-hmm. Like, wait, these TV deals, you think they're written in stone. They're not. Not when the ratings get to a certain point and the ratings are going in that direction. Yeah, the network will be fine, but the network will have its peaks and valleys every year.
I don't know if the network will be fine.
It'll have its peaks and valleys every year. I mean, they're not going to be in the danger that they were at first. But,
the danger zone.
But yeah, I mean, they're going to be like it's going to peak at WrestleMania, and then they're going to struggle to keep a hold of it, and then you're going to go down as the year goes on, and then you'll peak again at Royal Rumble.
Like,
and
Kelly,
it's up and down, up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and again, this is where... Let's look at, we were just watching a little bit of AWA territory. And, you know, we're talking, you and I off air, we're talking about Stampede Wrestling and everything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people do you think used to be on a roster on a roster in, say, Mid-South, Florida, Portland, Stampede, these different places back in the territory days? How many wrestlers?
What do you have, 40?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably 30 to 40.
Yeah.
For a 1-hour TV show. And that was part of what kept it fresh. And then they would move in and out of territories.
That's it, exactly.
How many male superstars does WWE have right now? Do they have 50 even? That it would be considered WWE main roster guys? I don't even know they have 50.
I always think they would have 50.
Well, think about it. They had pretty much everybody in the ring at that Royal Rumble. And then you had the ladder match, and that was 7 people. So that brings you to 37.
In a row?
And then you had a few other guys. You had Orton. You had Rollins, you had Rusev, you had Cena, you had Reigns. I'm up at 42 now. Yeah, I'm at 42 now, and I think that's just about it.
Well, let's hear
42, maybe 43.
We're talking about male?
Yeah, has to be a dude.
Okay.
You're counting it now?
I'm at...
So yeah, 11. When you see Christian and the bunny, don't fucking count them. They don't count.
Okay.
So the bunny doesn't count, because the bunny's still listed. That's great.
Okay, I'm
but,
at...
But PJ Gabriel or PJ Black, Justin Gabriel's gone.
I'm at 15.
You're at 15, okay. Daniel Bryan, you can count, though barely. You can count David Otunga, though barely.
I didn't. I'm not counting The Rock.
And you're not count? Are you counting El Torito, I guess?
No.
No?
Okay. Well, okay, I am, no, but it's, okay, so it's 18 and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, Fernando there.
Okay, see, and then there's Hornswoggle, so that's the other half. So that's 22. I'm not counting Gold Dust. Or Hunico.
No, Goldust appears to be retired, as the rumor was. And,
yeah.
Yep. No, not a single person on this cage except for Jey Uso you can count.
Yeah.
Can't count Mercury or Double.
No, I'm not. Nope. 30,
31, 32. I got up to like 42 or something like that.
33, 34, 35, 36. 37. 37 in a row. 38, 39, oh no, 38, I already counted him. 39, 40, 41.
So did you count Hunico? Did you count him twice then?
No, I didn't, know.
Okay.
42, I'm not counting Hunter.
No, of course not.
43, I'm not counting Undertaker.
No.
4, I already counted Xavier. 45, including Zack Ryder.
And including Hornswoggle and Torito.
That's true, it's half each.
So, okay, you're looking... They're trying to fill, back in the territory days, you would have 30 to 40 guys on a roster filling 1 hour of television show a week, you know, in these territories, in like Memphis and stuff.
Yeah.
They're trying to fill 5 hours with 44 guys. And then there's the women or whatever. But really that, they don't get much TV time, let's be honest. You know, give it even a chance. Like the fans started.
Yes.
Because Stephanie's a cunt. Oops, I didn't mean to say that.
You did.
I didn't, but whatever. So, I mean, you're looking at trying to fill that many hours with that many people. Yeah. Now, how many people, just as a guess, do you think in, say, January, February of 99, do you think the WWE had on the roster? 60? How many guys do you think they had?
How many guys? Probably about the same, actually. Maybe a little more. Maybe a little more. Maybe if they have 45 now, let's say 60. Okay, yeah, sure.
I'd say about 60. Okay, 99. Let's say beginning of 99, about 60.
Now, does that count like the Chaz and
D-Lo? Yeah, it does, but they're there, right? They're on the roster. We counted fucking Zack Ryder here.
That's true.
Right? David Otunga, actually, I guess
you think Zack Ryder and Heath Slater should be a tag team, actually.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. But okay, so we're looking at about 60. And it was way more talented than this 60, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
It's a little bit difficult to say because, actually way more talented because it's a different era where the guy's talent isn't allowed to shine compared to then when the guy's talent was allowed to shine.
I think it's, yes, I would say it might be even given the, yeah, like you said, that what...
We don't know.
The talent to shine. I mean... Like, Mark Henry's on both of those lists. I think of guys like Adrian Neville, who's on the list, and Seth Rollins, and, you know, and your Kalisto's, and, like, there are guys that are on this list.
I think, but part of it is also that list over there. At the same time, you'd have Steve Austin and The Rock and Mankind.
The top guys are a lot better.
So the top guys were kind of skew it. So overall, I think it's a more talented roster. But I also think, I think a guy like Road Dogg and Billy Gunn and their ability to get over is better than, say, the ability of an equal team nowadays. You know, or...
Well, there really is no equal team.
Well, that's it. Exactly.
But, I mean, you look at the way the Ascension
The Godfather, came in. Right? I mean, his ability to get over is better than, say, Adam Rose or Fandango.
Yeah, okay, you know? Adam Rose is probably, the same thing. Fandango, Adam Rose, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's just... I think he's more talented. Like, or actually, like I say, it's probably not fair to say more talented, but more suited, more... Better opportunity to succeed with his talents.
Better, yeah, more...
But either way, it was better. They had like 60
people. Yeah.
Okay, that's... now, at the same time as they had like 60 people in early 99, how many do you think were in WCW?
412.
I'd say legit 150.
At least.
At least 150. And the difference is their roster, 150, was a million times, like their talent was, that's the most talented lineup. Badly misused.
Well, I mean, when you had...
Horribly misused. I mean, Kevin Nash booked.
Well, yes. No, he could book a wrestling show better than anyone else.
But, I mean, they had like 150 people. They had the most talented roster in the history of the industry.
Yes.
More talented than the WWE had.
Yeah.
More talented by far than WWE has now.
Yes.
But we're looking at like 200 plus people.
The difference...
That were talented and were at that level.
See,
and now they only have 45.
And this...
And that was when there was two companies.
Yeah.
Now there's only one company and all you can give us is 45 people? And they're talking about keeping people in NXT to build it as its own brand.
Yeah.
When they don't have enough guys here. WWE, in order to put on 5 hours of TV a week, needs minimum 80 male wrestlers who are good enough to be on TV on their roster right now to make it succeed. When they have 45, you're going to be in trouble. And even when you go down to like 2 hours of TV a week, you're going to be in trouble.
If you...
And this is why I say it's not just, like, it's deep. Like, it's...
That
the
is
problems
deep,
is,
man.
The problems are, it's... You, dude. If that's the problem,
yeah.
this the river runs deep here.
Yeah.
There, the problem is you have 45 guys on the roster. You only have like 5 or 6 guys in NXT that really could come up.
I think the Stillwater.
And they're not even going to come up there. And and meanwhile, you need like almost double what you have just to do a 2 or 3 hour show and keep it fresh and keep it interesting.
Just to
nevertheless,
get
5 hours and pay per views and all this other shit. They're fucked.
Well,
they're fucked. And the idea that you only have one wrestling company in the world and it only has 45 guys on the roster.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, there's essentially only one wrestling company in the world.
Yes.
You only have 45 guys on the roster. When we're talking about 60 when there was and 150
in America
in a different time.
In North America.
In North America, there's only one in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In North America, there's only one in the world.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's world famous in world famous in America.
Yes.
Yeah. But the idea that you... New Japan's roster is probably bigger than WWE's.
Probably.
But the idea that... Like, if I told you that...
I think there's 45 people in the Bullet Club.
If I told you 15 years ago that the WWE would be the only wrestling company in the world and they would be doing 5 hours of TV with only 45 wrestlers, what would you have said? You would have said it's impossible.
Yeah, no way, man. Yeah, that's true. I look
so
at
this
it,
is
man.
Why I say they're just...
What do you think?
And this is and when you have that few guys and you have to repeat matchups and you have to repeat all like...
It's a good thing they don't.
40 minutes of wrestling over a 3 hour show that's generally boring and all the backstage. You have to repeat all this?
Yeah.
And that's why the ratings are going to keep going down. It's their lack of depth. That everything trickles down from there. And the ratings are going to go down. And they're going to get canceled. And they're not going to have the money they think they are. And I still say they're in trouble. I think they're maybe got 4.5 billion years left.
Could you... you said, you know, that the only company in the world or whatever. Do you think, could you, not now, but could you morph it and evolve it to be that the whatever the SmackDown time slot is becomes NXT?
You could.
And that's your separate, that's your,
you
like,
could.
Your two kind of brands? Like,
but again,
you'd
still need 40 guys just on NXT and 60 guys on Raw.
It's true.
Like if you're doing 3 or 2 hours, 60 or 70.
Yeah.
And again, we talk about it, they let go of guys and they don't bring them back. They don't repackage guys very well. You talk about Global Force Wrestling, the guys that bring in, these guys should be in the WWE. But you're also in an era where Alberto Del Rio and CM Punk and AJ Lee and PJ Gabriel or PJ Black now, Justin Gabriel.
Yeah.
And fucking
Rey Mysterio,
the Briscoe Brothers, the Bucks. All have a chance to be there and just want out and don't want to go. And, like, that's crazy.
Yeah. You talk crazy talk.
So, yeah.
Samoa Joe, though.
He will come in, so I'll give you one good one.
He's just met with Hunter to kind of finalize their deal. Here's my question, I guess, and I think it's a good solution for the short term being here, is... I forget which Uso was hurt, but is that who teams with the other Uso?
No. I just think he's...
On his own?
Yeah, I think if you put him with one of the Usos, number one, he's probably the only Samoan not in that family.
What? No. They're all in the family.
I think if you do that, you present him to people that he's a lesser star, unfortunately, because you put him in the tag division. And you can't afford to do that with Samoa Joe. You have so few people. Number one, he's going to go to NXT for however long anyways. But you cannot... You can't. You just don't have the... With that lack of depth, yeah. You can't possibly present this guy as just another... unfortunately, it's just another... mid-carder, which is what putting him in the tag team division immediately does.
I'm going to the NXT roster.
Yeah.
Right now, just to see. And I'm going to say two, because I'm not counting as Angelo Dawkins.
Yeah, we haven't seen them. They don't count.
Well, I've seen them, but not in ages.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen him since it went on the network, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So we got two here.
Yeah.
Three. Four.
See, the Brian Kendrick doesn't count.
No. I've never seen Cal Bishop.
No. And Bull Dempsey you've seen, but he's going to be released.
So five. I got six.
Six, yeah.
Seven. Eight. Mm-hmm. Nine.
Nine, okay. Did you count Alex Riley?
11, yeah.
Okay, good, good. Because he rages.
12.
13.
14. I'm not counting Kalisto.
No, you're right. He's not an NXT guy anymore.
So we're 13. We're 14 with Mojo Rawley.
Yeah.
15. I'm not counting Neville or Rhino. So we're 15.
I think you could count Rhino to some degree, because at least he's regularly there, unlike the Brian Kendricks.
That's true.
So I think you could count him.
Okay, so let's say he's 16 then. Yep. 17 was Zane. I don't know about the Sawyer or Fulton.
Yeah, I know. I have no idea. Yeah.
17, 18,
19. Sure.
20. 21,
22. 22. For a one-hour TV show where you give the female division a good amount of time, that's fine.
Well, and that's for an hour show.
That's for an hour show, 22. But you could actually, here you actually could count the females on the roster, because unlike Raw where you have the divas get 10 minutes in wrestling in a three-hour show, here they're going to get... They get like 33% of the show.
That's true.
So you actually could count them. So if you count in them, all of a sudden you have a roster of over 30 people, like probably about 30, 34 people for an hour show, much like in the territory days. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know, and 1 2-hour show, 2 hour show quarterly.
Yeah.
That's fine. And, but this is what we're talking about. It's like, so literally, if you look at it that way, though, if we're talking 30 people there and you're talking essentially like 45 people.
Yeah, for three times the amount of programming.
More than.
Yeah, I guess, if you count...
Five times. This is where we're talking about the problem.
Yeah. And
that's why it's not going away.
And
it's not
going
to get better.
Partially the reason that NXT is better.
Even though we know that they've made some improvements with how they're doing their training center now and everything,
mm-hmm.
What they did killing... WCW and killing all the territories and taking and for years having John Laurinaitis fuck up your developmental
what?
System.
What do you mean?
What do you mean they fucked it up? Yeah, and you know, fucking up with OVW and having you know, Hugh Morris there for years as a horrible trainer and all this stuff. Like,
is that humorous? What?
Yeah, I mean, they have just like, this is why you only have, you know, 70 people in total between developmental and big time roster as performers. Like,
yeah.
When you should have, as the only company in the world, 120. I mean, UFC has like 300 fighters on its roster.
Yes, that's true.
You know, like, just you guys, their short term thinking and their fucking up of developmental all these years is coming to roost.
It is. It is.
And now I don't know how you ever turn it around.
Well, from that depressing topic, let's talk about...
This show's going to be all about positivity.
Yes. Let's talk about another Owen Hart rib.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, in Japan, Owen and 123 Kid, X-Pac.
Yeah.
When
when he was away from his when they were away from the hotel room, they picked on a wrestler, and when he was away from the hotel room, they got into his hotel, they put all his clothes in the bathtub and filled it with water. They ordered every pay-per-view movie available on the television, and for good measure, they removed every single light bulb from the room. So, the wrestler was seen the next day wearing clothing that didn't fit because it didn't belong to him, and looking very bewildered.
Awesome.
That's awesome. The other one was the Mark Henry rib. Owen was friends with Mark Henry.
Yeah.
And they passed the time by making prank phone calls on the road. Owen called Terry Todd, who used to be Mark Henry's like manager, business manager. And he'd recently moved to a ranch and was having troubles with cows escaping through a broken fence. Owen called Terry Todd, pretending to be one of his neighbors, furious that the escaped cows were tromping on his property. "I'm going to go out there and start shooting them," Owen said. The call escalated with threats of both human and bovine violence. And with Todd, and so Todd had fallen for a hook, line, and sinker.
There you go. That's
Owen. The other one was the one that Bret Hart told at the Hall of Fame with
Reg.
With Reg Park. And he says, "Dad, it's Reg Park." And Stu, Reg Park. And Stu's starting to be on the phone, and Owen just needling him at him. And you could see Stu, he said, was pacing back and forth. And then finally he goes, "Well, Reg, if you wanted to try me, why didn't you try me?"
Yeah.
Then he hung up the phone and he sat down and said, "That bastard Owen got me."
Yeah, exactly. We're actually reading the next one here. The old McMahon had a far.
All right. The Godwins. Had all these things like pigs and slop and stuff. And Owen never claimed responsibility for this, but everybody figured it was Owen. A bunch of pigs ended up in Vince McMahon's office. Davey Boy also denied involvement. I think this was during the hog pen match.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That Owen took all the hogs and put them in Vince's office. And there's a picture, actually, of Owen at his office, oh, with the door open, pointing to, telling the pigs to get out. Was
that the show picture, then?
Huh? Yeah, maybe. Pointed, getting, telling the pigs to get out of his office. Like he's actually talking to these pigs. "Get out, you! Get out of my office.
Get out of my office, pal."
But yes.
Do the Popcorn Angels one. Because I think we've gone through most of the topics, haven't we?
Yeah, we did talk about NXT TakeOver.
And you have some TNA to talk about.
Ric Flair has a podcast.
I hear it goes 60 minutes.
Woo!
Every night.
Every night, Ric Flair is starting a podcast. Uh-huh. With Kurt Angle as his first guest.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is very interesting. Also, let's just, before we go into some of these Owen ribs, did you hear what Brian Kendrick's going to do?
Yes, he's getting, he's making Eva Marie a good worker.
Respectable. Yeah. His goal is to make Eva Marie respected.
And if he can successfully do that, he will go down as the Vern Gagne of this generation.
Yes, and he will earn a job for life.
For life.
You were talking about giving divas a chance as well, before we get into more of the Owen ribs. But I think the time really is now, given the publicity that like you could bring up. Well, it's two things, twofold. Either bring her up to the main roster now, or continue their work in NXT and highlight NXT more. But like there were 18 million Americans that saw Diane Sawyer interview Charlotte on ABC. They went through it. She used her real name, Bruce Jenner, because it was a shoot.
Oh,
capitalize on this. Like, now's the time.
As soon as you said Diane Sawyer, and I clicked into where you're going. Woo! I agree.
Yes. I think the time is now. The time is now. Let's do another Owen rib. And then, so the Owen rib with the popcorn, of course, is legendary. When it was Owen against Mick Foley, and Austin was like the special enforcer.
Yes.
And they were doing like a falls
count. That's when he was hurt.
Exactly. Yeah, it was in that time where Austin was hurt when Rikishi hit him with the car.
Yes.
Yes, when he was out that way with the reoccurrence of the neck injury from, ironically, Owen. But Owen was on a mission to make Austin laugh. And so at one point during the match, a fan actually threw a bag of popcorn into the ring. And Owen used it. Somebody threw popcorn at Owen as the heel in the ring and hit him. And Owen sold this like he'd been shot.
Of course he did.
And he dropped to the ring, and then he proceeded to make popcorn angels.
Yes,
in the ring.
Yeah.
And Stone Cold broke the character, as it were.
Finally got him.
So that was the.
Hey, let's. As long as we're doing classic things there, I think it's time to play our game that we haven't played for a while, and that's what Bobby Heenan taught me.
Oh, yes.
What do you think?
And now it's time for another episode of What Bobby Heenan, me.
All right. What Bobby Heenan taught me. Okay, go ahead. Wait. Here's what Bobby Heenan taught me. I don't know what he's going to say here, but... And that's what Bobby Heenan taught me.
I hope that
came across on the air. I'm not sure it did, but if not, you could repeat it for them.
I could.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to.
Oh.
Yes. We'll end with the TNA humor.
Okay.
NXT TakeOver, though, while we're on the topic with Charlotte, of NXT TakeOver Unstoppable. Is going to be what it's called on May 20th. So it's going to be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the title. It's going to be Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
For the chick title.
Interested to see how that one will come off.
Blake and Murphy against Enzo and Colin Cassidy.
Yeah. Interested to see how that one will get off.
I would assume that's the one where Carmella turns heel.
I think that's right.
Rhino versus Baron Corbin, and then Finn Balor versus Hideo versus Tyler Breeze for a number one contendership.
It doesn't have the same kind of, I don't think it has as much momentum or as, like, when you read that card, it doesn't create the same excitement.
No.
And you've lost, you know, a couple people, you've lost Kalisto and you've lost Neville, so you're trying to replace them and everything.
The problem is you're replacing them with, like, Baron Corbin.
Yeah, Baron Corbin and Rhino, right? So, yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't, but I'm sure the night of, it'll be great. And obviously, just for the Zayn and Owens alone.
Well, I guess you do have Owens as a relatively newcomer to replace Neville, let's say. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And that's basically what happened, is that he did replace Neville.
That's true.
Neville, again, because they said
Where was Alex Riley in this thing?
He's not.
He's raging?
He's raging in the back. Mm. He wants Brody and he wants him in a cage. But I think I don't know, like, NXT's kind of, I don't say it's been boring me, but it's just, I don't have that, like, with Finn, you have Finn Balor, you have Sami Zayn, you have Kevin Owens, right?
And you have these three guys, and to a lesser degree, I'm starting to see more out of Hideo as he goes.
Yeah, yeah, he's adjusting. He's adjusting better.
He's still on that just underneath.
Well, no, I mean, it's the same thing. We looked at their roster, and we're only looking like 20 people or whatever.
Yeah.
And not all of those guys are good or ready. Like, there's like the amount of guys who are ready down there or are good, we've already seen now take on each other a bunch of times.
Yeah, and I think
that's kind of...
And that's the whole thing, is that you can't bring up Owens and Zayn and Balor all at the same time. And quite frankly, Enzo and Colin Cassidy are as ready as they're going to be to come up.
That's true.
And
Well, I mean, no, as workers, they could, as personalities, yeah.
Yeah.
As workers, they can still improve. But
I guess.
Can probably improve up there, too.
Up there, I was going to say.
I don't know how long before we see UHA Nation. There, I mean, he's pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, they've already got interviews on.
He's the next of their signees. He's the next guy that's very intriguing.
Yeah,
but again, I mean, first off, he has to get over down there, and then we'll see how long before he gets up there.
Heck.
But at least he'll add some depth to NXT.
Well, and throw Samoa Joe in that mix when he comes.
Yeah, well, he'll be there hopefully short term
in June.
Yeah,
yeah, but Finn Balor should have been there for short term too.
I never had that feeling that he was though.
That's true.
I think the difference is that Finn Balor, they have to establish to the American audience, whereas Samoa Joe doesn't really so much have to be established.
No, that's true. That's true. And it's this said, but that's where I see him put...
There's probably 50 guys out there, if you look at what Global Force Wrestling and stuff like that's doing, and you look at New Japan, you look around, there's probably 50, 60 guys WWE could bring in that depth right now.
If they wanted to, they could. Yeah, I mean, you talk about... They could have Shelton and Masters and... You know, those guys in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know,
they can't afford it. But then again, when you don't bring them up and you still keep going with 45 people and the show isn't good and then you keep losing money because you get stuff canceled, then you really won't be able to afford it.
I think if you look at it with the guys that they have, they could, like, you could make that show a heck of a lot better, right? That's the whole
obviously.
Thing.
Obviously.
But the thing is with that third hour... I don't know if you could make that show good.
It's tough.
It is very tough do a 3-hour show. I mean, you need... I don't know what you'd need. You almost need to have a half an hour match.
Yeah.
You know, every... but the problem, and I guess they do that, but the problem is that half hour match is like Randy Orton and Roman Reigns against the Big Show and Kane.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and combinations of that horse shit. Like,
like I say, it's about promotion, it's about building up the. If you have the panel analyze the match, and you have a promo video. And then you have the ring entrances and actually make them something special.
Yeah.
Like Dean Ambrose's ring entrance is nothing special. Make it something special that takes a little time and present it as something. And then you have the match of Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins or whatever.
Yeah.
You can go 45 minutes on just that.
Just to be warmed up.
And it would be entertaining and be good.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to. But still, you're talking about a lot of content that they have to fill.
Yeah.
Airtime.
Well, and I mean... You need some more... Again,
what does TNA have to fill?
You could do that with tag teams, right?
That's true, exactly.
I mean, I looked at it... Honestly, it's gotten to the point where I was... Like, when Damian Sandow did his promo in the ring.
Yeah.
And to crickets. And it did him...
So did they ever fuck him up?
It did him no favors.
Well, they fucked him up.
The promo... I know what the promo...
They fucked up that whole feud with The Miz.
The promo itself... Yes, they did. But the promo itself, I thought, in terms of content, was good. Like, what he was saying was good. But you could tell that they were expecting him to get... And he was expecting to get a much bigger reaction.
Yeah.
And even the way that he reacted, it was practice that huge pop here. So then he says,
well,
you're welcome.
We've seen the scripts. They write in huge pop into the scripts. Where they think they're writing the crowd to react, but the crowd doesn't react.
No, but he even said, the way he even looked at the crowd and pointed, like, it was like the crowd was supposed to crescendo and they weren't.
Yeah.
But he was still acting like they were, and it was just like, oh, fuck. It got to this point.
Because it used to be your promos were interacting with the crowd and playing off them. Now your promos are performing for the crowd, therefore performing for the TV. And therefore, they're You cannot. You just say your lines.
Yes.
They suck.
But even the
that's the other thing that really needs to go. Even, I'm fucking sorry.
Yes. I'm not.
Scripting the promos really needs to go.
It got to the point where when Curtis Axel interrupted him.
Yeah.
You know what I was hoping? I was really actually getting excited and hoping that we were going to have the Macho Dal.
That would be fine.
And they were the Mega Powers. And they were going to do the handshake.
Sure, that'd be great.
And then they were going to, yeah.
That'd be far more entertaining. And then you had,
Axel Mania and Macho Dao, and then they could just go and they could be a tag team against the Matadors or whatever, right? Exactly.
Well, the problem is, like I said, I mean, if they had done it right, he would be getting a great reaction. Instead, you book him against The Miz in a bunch of matches that just happened really quickly on Raw that all go 3 minutes, where he gets turned on by a woman who's going to obviously turn on him, making him look like the babyface, look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes out and cuts that promo.
Yes. That's after the bigger fuck-up where you had the guy who should have been probably out fourth in the Battle Royal after everybody ganged up on him, wins the fucking Battle Royal, where you had Hideo that you could have done for NXT, and Damian fucking Mizdow should have won the Battle Royal from a WWF.
I don't even think that winning the Battle Royal beats the damn thing, though, because I look at Cesaro last year, so...
No, but for short term, it meant something.
If they did it, you're right. Just because they did it doesn't mean they have to do it wrong again. Just because you fucked it up.
Yeah, like short term for Cesaro, it worked. Yeah. It's then
positivity continues.
It's what they fucked up. But they should have. I mean, all you did was you guaranteed it was fucked up by having Ms. Dow lose the Battle Royal and Sandow didn't.
Yeah.
You know, that should have been the catalyst to make the match, because there really was no, you know, just stupid. So, anyway, that was...
Do another Owen rib.
Yeah, let's do an Owen rib. Let's talk about the time he put that... I think it was Goldust that talked about this on the Raw, is Owen, when Harley in Kansas City used to have all the wrestlers over to his place.
Barbecue.
And they have a barbecue, and he makes chili. That's his Harley's famous chili. And Owen thought it'd be funny to put 3 bottles of hot sauce in the pot of chili where no one was looking. And then he just watched as everybody ate the chili and did it. And Harley chased Owen Hart around his house with a stun gun afterwards.
You fucked up my chili, son!
Fucked up.
Awesome.
There was the match, I think it was the summer of 95, when it was going to be the Allied Powers against Owen and Yokozuna was what they were building to. It never happened, but that's what they were building to.
Yeah.
And Owen kept dead-assing Luger when Luger tried to put him up with to the press slam. Owen allowed Davey Boy to do it, but continuously would not go up for Luger. And so Davey Boy wouldn't be able to do it, and then he'd tag in Davey, and Davey would do it.
So
and,
easily.
And then he'd look over at Luger and go, "I'm the strongest."
That's awesome.
It was tremendous. But,
yes. All right, what else you got there?
Well, let's talk about TNA, I guess, and then we'll end with the last couple Owen ribs.
Sounds good to me.
So TNA.
And then everybody will hear our great spot for our sponsor, Geek Nation Doors.
That's true. The heterosexuals at geeknation.com. The men and, good for them, women. Good for them at geeknationtours.com.
Which you should check out, some cool stuff. Anyways, go on.
There is some cool stuff there. Lyle, do you think that they should have the New Day when Raw comes to Baltimore?
Oh, fuck. I'm going to go blow my nose. It's bugging me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to step out of the room. Unless you want me to do it on the air.
No, leave the room. And I will, I'll expand upon my New Day in Baltimore thoughts.
Just one of these isn't going to be enough. You're gonna need what? A couple.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God.
Great.
Let's talk about the Uha Nation.
The producer, I should warn her.
You should. You should. Just say, look out below.
Look out.
Below? All right, so Mo has gone to blow his nose.
We're going to talk about how fat he is while he's gone. I'm telling you, kids, he's so fat. No, I don't know. There's not really a word to describe it. Rotund? No, that doesn't really even do it. But anyway, let's continue on here. I'm going to read another Owen rib. That's my rib for Mo leaving the room. He's not going to hear about the Owen rib, because we've talked about this one before, so Mo's a bit aware of it, but it is a great one. When Edge and Christian were fighting a Double J and Owen in German, and Owen grabbed a piece of a napkin and found it, and used it as a foreign object. He was hitting Edge and Christian with the napkin, loading his fist with the napkin. Jarrett and Owen were doing, like, double clotheslines with the napkin. And then he put the napkin under his armpit, and the referee's like, hey, Edge, and he's checking him, and Owen lifted up his arms, and the napkin come falling out. And
I missed the Venus, everyone.
What do you do? No, you didn't. I didn't do that one. I was talking about the paper towel foreign object because I knew you'd heard that one.
Yeah.
Already. So I did that one first. We also spent some time talking about how fat you are.
Well, I got out the door.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, you went sideways. But still. So you don't think that they should have the New Day in Baltimore, was your thought?
I didn't say that.
Oh, so you think they should?
I have no opinion on the matter.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, would you just get off the fucking pot here?
I do not think they should have the Big Boss Man in Baltimore.
Too bad the Shield wasn't still together, eh?
I don't think
you could have had the Hounds of Justice against the New Day.
Yeah, I don't think you should do that.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't think Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker should be booked.
What about Colonel DeBeers?
Nope, I don't think so. Yeah, or Bret Hart.
Or Bret Hart. Well, you love South Africa. What about the Commandant?
So anyways,
the
move
Truth
on.
Commission.
Move on.
Really, though, speaking
Nation
of...
Nation domination?
Well, speaking of the New Day, they do have their new... They're starting their thing. They got the New Day Rocks.
New Day Rocks.
And
I can't wait to buy that shirt.
Yeah, no shit, eh? But they are starting to get pissed when the crowd chants New Day sucks. So I think if you do it right, you get it so that they're upset with them, but it's a bit of a slow burn.
Sure, that's fine.
So I'm okay with that. But we're going to talk about TNA now. Speaking, because we said we tell a lot of jokes. So here's TNA. I don't know if it's going to last. It might just last tonight. But Billy Corgan has been named the senior producer of creative and talent development for Total Nonstop Action Wrestling.
So what does that mean?
That means that Billy Corgan will continue to fuck up the promotion.
What exactly does that, like, does that mean he has booking power?
Yeah, he's booking and he's coming up with characters.
Okay. Billy Corgan is legitimately, for music, a genius. Not clever. Not good. Genius. And he's proven that a number of times. The height of his career, obviously, would have been a while ago. But like
1994, 95, say?
Yeah, maybe a little later than that. But yeah, about that, yeah.
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 That was when Bullet with Butterfly Wings and all that.
And that stuff was huge. But since then, he's done great music. He's a legit genius. His Revolution Pro Wrestling never took off, but I guess it was sort of a side hobby thing.
Well, but they talked about revolutioning television and revolutionizing wrestling, and I mean, Billy Corgan was the guy that revolutionized. He got Dennis Stamp booked,
and that's true. That's true. And
told him his.
I mean, I read an interview that he gave, and. And he seemed very smart about it, and I think he's the right idea with it. I mean, we've talked about this before. We talk about characters, even characters like the New Day, as a fine example of characters that are cutting edge. No, they are not. Their gimmick is stuck in a different era, and there's not much actual character development, and not much representation of what modern society is. in the angles or whatever. I mean, they always talk about, you know,
that's why they need to bring the golf.
They talk about the golf. They talk about the Gulf War always and how WWE did that with
Slaughter.
Because, I mean, when we're at our best, we're reflecting society back to ourselves. And they haven't done that forever. And
no.
And what he's talking about is stuff that's more like that. And so that would be great. Unfortunately, it's TNA.
Yes.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Nope.
Nobody will give a fuck.
Nope.
He probably won't last there.
Uh-uh.
We mentioned this before.
Yep.
And we're going to say it again.
He sucks.
They should have... They should have shut it down when Spike TV got rid of them. That was the perfect time. Shut it down.
Yeah.
You should have shut it down.
Put it out of their misery.
Instead of sit there and put it out of its misery. Now you brought this guy in. You got a little bit of a couple of press. Nobody else is going to watch. The ultimate test will be the Slammer fucking Versary that they're doing, pay-per-view, to see how much interest.
I guess.
I almost want to watch it just to see what it's like. It's almost like a perverse curiosity.
The thing is because we haven't gotten TNA, because since they've been off Spike, I mean, apparently there's a Fight Network now, but I mean, I haven't watched it, so I mean, I haven't seen guys like Camacho's in it.
Yeah.
And Drew McIntyre,
yeah.
Right? Is and I haven't seen any of that. You know, the Beatdown Crew or whatever that I hear about. I've never, like, it's
Beatdown Crew is Lucha Underground.
No.
Beatdown Crew. You're right. Yeah.
MVP's thing.
That's MVP's
thing. Homicide and Lashley.
I think it's just the Crew or something like that.
The Crew is Lucha Underground with Big Rick.
Yeah, well, yeah. No longer.
No, but...
I know what you mean, yeah.
But I think that, I don't know, like, it sounds like a decent enough product that's been going on.
But who cares?
But that's the thing, right? Is like, that you just can't, if you, a tree falls.
you can't put the toothpaste back in the bottle.
I've tried.
Or in the tube. But that's it, though. I mean, it's like, yeah, you had your chance, and...
You blew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And getting this guy there, it's just... It's too bad, because Billy Corgan had 7-8 years ago.
I understand, though.
Even when they were on Spike, came in with a big amount of publicity. Who knows? Maybe it could have been something, but now it means nothing.
Yeah. I mean... Has he done a TNA angle, Billy Corgan? Is he there once?
I'm pretty sure he did do an angle.
I think he did an angle. He did an ECW angle with Justin Credible.
Yeah.
Put the guitar over his head. I think it was 96 or something.
Hey, he loves this stuff. He's passionate about this stuff. And like I say, he's a smart guy, but
I understand he's wanting to take TNA back to 1979.
Yeah. Well, 1973, really.
1979, where the cool kids, they never get it right.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I understand no foreign objects are going to be allowed. I understand he's going to disarm them with a smile and cut them like they used to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be, I believe they're going to put the women inside of a steel cage.
Mm-hmm.
Because despite all of their rage,
despite
all of their rage, they're still going to be rats in a cage.
Yeah, like Greg. Well, yeah, the women who hang around afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And of course, Goldust's, is
the reason
he had the rat, remember?
That's true, as a Black Rain.
As Black Rain, that rat's still there.
That's true.
So put that in a cage.
I also understand
despite
that.
Despite all his rage,
yeah.
Greg Gagne cannot get Bruiser Brody in a cage.
He cannot. He cannot. Yeah. But I also understand that it's good that Billy Corgan is there because the TNA ratings are zero.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, and a lot of the people feel about TNA right now is melancholy.
Yeah.
And that is infinitely sad. Those are all the Smashing Pumpkin references that I know.
I can, yeah, no, it's true, yeah. No,
and,
it gets me, certainly gives me madness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Macho madness.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Billy Corgan's there, and nobody gives a fuck.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get Slam a Motherfucking Versary coming totally live to pay-per-view.
Yeah, so we might order it, and that way we'll double their pay-per-view buys.
Can't we just find a place to stream it?
No. Nobody's going to waste their bandwidth on
that. That's true. Fuck. Well, we don't want to buy it.
Someday you gotta buy it.
I don't want to buy it. We want to see all of the all of their big stars.
I presume it's only $9.99.
That's true. That's the going rate. $9.99. Anything higher than that is not worth it.
Yeah. I'm going to make a prediction right now.
Pain?
2,600 buys.
At $9.99 each. It'll be their highest grossing pay-per-view in 5 years. You think that many? Well, I mean, but the thing is there is the draw. I might go a little higher than that because there's a draw. There's all their big stars. You know, Kurt Angle, you have Jeff Hardy there.
Oh, yeah. No, he'll be there.
Oh, wait. Oh, yes. Jeff Excite Bike Hardy. Did you see the video?
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Holy shit.
I love that. Matt's filming it. Shit! Drop it! You moron.
Who'd have thought?
Morons. I'm worried that with his leg broken, him going to the hospital, that they fed him painkillers.
That's true. Maybe that's why he did it.
Yeah.
Figured it out mid-flight. So I just leaned to my left.
Oh, wow.
He's 37 years old.
But mentally, he's 3.
Apparently. Because that's what I like to do as a 37-year-old, is build dirt bike ramps in my backyard.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so he's out. They don't know how long, but he broke his fucking leg, so presumably the rest of the year.
Yeah, a while anyways.
Holy shit.
Making Matt Hardy's value triple.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. Maybe Matt Hardy can resume his feud with MVP.
Yay.
That was a great feud.
Yeah.
They could be tag team partners that don't get along.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. So, TNA, you suck. Oh, and they're...
Fuck you, Kane.
They've been shorted.
Who could give a fuck about Kane?
Who could possibly
give a fuck about Kane?
Remember when Kane feuded with MVP? They had an Inferno match?
Oh, yeah.
When Kane and Mr. Kennedy were going to be, or Mr. Kennedy and MVP were going to be the future of the WWE?
Yeah. You know, MVP is the exact same age as me. Born in the same day and same year.
Wow. I mean, look at him. He's so old. But at least MVP has not been... It's the same with like Batista. Batista's old, but he hasn't been there consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you don't feel burnt out on him. No. The same way you do...
Fuck,
I would
bring MVP back and have him be a manager in part-time wrestling in the WWE if I could.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Of the New Day.
No, they don't need... I don't think they need somebody to speak for them. There's guys out there that could still use somebody to speak for them.
That's true. That's true.
And that's why he was good with Lashley, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And he was able to rein in Kenny King.
Yeah.
Who talks too much.
Yeah, that's true.
So TNA, fuck you. I understand, too, that their crew has been shorted money again. That they...
Oh, yes, TNA's back behind again on their...
Well, it's not even so much that they're behind. They got paid for February... But it's not as much as they were promised.
Yeah.
So they've all been shorted money. They've been paid some, but it hasn't. They haven't got March's money yet, which is...
Well, you know, in the past...
It's only May.
This isn't the first time that they didn't have the money to pay their staff and employees.
Yeah, it was last year.
Performers. Yeah, I mean, but they just went to Janus before, you know?
Well, no, what happened last year was that they... Whoa, careful here. That may have a belt falling there.
I never cause things to fall.
No. The last year, they just refused to work. The crew got to a show, and they're like, no, we're not working because you don't even pay us.
Yeah, but no, so, which is why they went to Janus. Like she gave them money, and she gave them the money.
Yeah, and one guy in the office that was short money said, if I'm not paid in the next whatever it was week, I'm going to work for Jarrett.
Yeah.
And he got paid later that day.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy.
It's just fucking, it's ridiculous is what it is. I mean, that's what I look at. Is
Janus
like,
doesn't want to bail you out and you obviously don't make the money. And you know what? Guess what? This pay-per-view, you're going to lose money on it.
Yeah.
So why are you doing it? Is it because you look like you're not a real company unless you do it? Because
they're not.
Well, guess what? You're not.
Yeah.
Lucha Underground is going to come back for a second season, though, and they're going to innovate even more on a very innovative product.
Yeah,
let's hope that it takes off.
I hope they come to Netflix.
That'd be awesome.
I like season one to be on Netflix, so then I could watch it all start to finish and binge watch it. You know, because it's hard to find it on
Daily Motion,
like in a row. Like I can find like episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 9. You know, like it just tough. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Be nice if it queues up for yourself.
Yeah, yeah, then you just go on Netflix.
It's Luis Enrique is the name of the guy who uploads them, and I think you can find them in order from him on a playlist.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll
watch that. Yeah.
But, yeah, because I can do it on the PlayStation now. There's a YouTube app on the PlayStation.
So it has to be Daily Motion. It's not YouTube.
Oh, I can still go to Daily Motion on the web. But, yeah, Jesus. That was, we haven't talked about Jericho and Stephanie because we didn't see it.
I just read about it and I went, I don't want to fucking watch this.
No.
Because it's like it's the same
shit.
Yeah, what we said about Jericho before is really protected.
Yeah.
He protects them.
Yes.
And there's a couple times where he pushes it just slightly when they say something stupid enough.
Yes.
But he won't push it when they say the exact same stupid thing the second time.
Yeah, he won't push it like Austin.
No.
And that was the thing. So
Austin has cleared up on his podcast that he has no issues with them. I might still do something with them in the future.
So. Well, sure. But the other thing with Austin is it's Austin and McMahon. And Austin and McMahon had this huge relationship for years. Like, he knows he can push those buttons.
Yeah.
Hunter, he knew he could push those buttons. He's known him for 20 years.
Well, apparently, but it was the China thing that pissed them off, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But you know what? We went to the fucking piano, the DX piano at the Royal Rumble a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago now.
Yeah.
And they brought up China.
Yeah, so she was a big part of it.
Talking China, exactly. So,
but nobody ever saw that. Lots of people have heard it, luckily.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, but lots of listens last couple of years. Not as many as our Ultimate Warrior. You see that, like 16,000 listens.
Yeah, I know.
Ultimate Warrior for the
Warrior show.
That was very successful.
That's our ultimate show.
Yeah,
yeah.
We need somebody else to die. I vote for Jeff Jarrett.
I vote for
Jeff Hardy.
I want it to be news. let's go back to the Owen rib, the final Owen rib. Val Venus. He goes there's his autograph signing.
Uh-huh.
And so they're there, Owen and Val and some other people signing autographs. And this guy walks up with like a stack.
What about your friend Jeffy? He's been on the show before. We should have him back on, and then he can die. We can do a show about him.
No, we don't want that to happen.
Why? No?
No.
But what if he cuts us listeners?
Remember, you almost died that got us listeners.
That's true. It was a very popular show where I almost died, and you saved my life on air.
That's true.
But your technique, your medical technique of just punching me as hard as you could in the middle of my back.
Woo!
Wham!
It worked. It worked. It worked.
Well, first off, you almost killed me, though.
Yeah. That's your
taking
fault.
Taking a drink, and you told a story where you told your wife how the producer there how
all
wrestling matters. And I started laughing.
All wrestling is important.
All wrestling is important.
Yes.
It's like, if they're not called pay-per-views, they're called special events, how long I know which wrestling is important?
All wrestling is important.
I was drinking and lost it and almost died.
Yes.
So we could do that to Jeffy. No, I'm just kidding. I've said it before. I'd rather you die and just do the show with Jeffy.
He had his fourth child today, actually.
Jeffy. Oh, did he?
Yeah. He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't know the name yet, but fourth child.
Tell him Mo is a gender neutral name, and you know, that's what Bruce Jenner should have been called.
It is gender neutral.
That's what they could have called her instead of Charlotte.
That's Mo. True. Mo. Mo Flair.
All right, you're the final one, Rip.
All right. So Val Venus is at this autograph signing with Owen and a bunch of others, and this guy walks up with like this giant stack of Val Venus pictures for him to sign, which Val obviously knows he's going to just turn around and sell.
Yeah, eBay or whatever.
Yeah. So Val's like, no, and turns the guy around. Like, I'm not fucking signing for you. So
Ric Flair would.
Yeah.
And Ric Flair did that thing.
It's true. That's true. Well, there's only 90 of them.
90 people? That's it?
Well, some guys work, they have like 10 things, 15 things to sign. Yeah, but 90? Yeah, 90 but... minutes? Woo! That's not very many. Yeah,
we only got 90? Smile. Woo. So 90 people, that's it, man. Thanks very much. 90 people!
I wish this was a video podcast.
Fucking Flair. At least he's not as big of a dick as Foley.
Oh, fuck.
But anyway, Val turns this guy away, so Owen sees that. In the middle of the night, Owen calls Val Venus at the hotel and claimed to be that autograph guy. And it's like, and he's just giving him shit for not signing. Mm-hmm. And calling him all sorts of names and said he's down in the lobby and you come down to the lobby and you sign his stack of paper for me, you fucker. And so Val just gets pissed and goes down to the lobby. And Owen and Jeff Jarrett are there. And he's like, clearly because it's them, but Owen and Jeff Jarrett, so he sees him and he's like, this fucking guy. And Owen's like, yeah, we saw him. He's around here somewhere. I think he went that way. He was here. And he went over there. So apparently Val spent like the whole night looking for this guy, because Owen and Jeff...
Yeah, in his, like, pajamas or something, yeah. Right?
And Owen and Jeff just kept saying, like, yeah, he went over that way. And he's like, he's over there. No, I just saw him. He's right there. Yeah. And Val spent the whole night looking for him until he found out that,
if you wanted to try me, Reg, then why didn't you try
me? If you wanted to try me, why didn't you try me?
That is it. That is 10. That is 10.
When did Vince come out of the closet?
Fabulous, fabulous Owen Hart ribs in honor of Owen Hart's birthday, which is Thursday. Mm-hmm. 50. He would have been 50 this year.
Really?
Yeah, 1965 he was born. He would have been 50 years old.
Wow.
So.
All right. Let's call it a night.
We will.
OUT.
We're off like a Jewish foreskin. So, in the meantime, we're at WeTalkWrestling.com. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. What else?
At WeTalkWrestling on Twitter.
On Twitter, yeah. Or Facebook, I said that.
Yeah, either we too. Or us.
Addie, ADDIE, at WeTalkWrestling.com.
To email.
We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes.
Tune in.
We're on the Tune In.
We should get on that. What is that? iHeart. Radio app. We should get on that iHeart.
We're on iHeart.
We should get on it.
Oh. We're on Show Me.
Are we on there?
We're on Spotify.
Yeah. Down there.
Down where?
Yeah.
But that's, I think, everywhere we are. We're on a whole bunch of other shit, too. But
Last FM or something. I don't even know.
Well, I think it was the first
FM. Point is, if you're not listening to us, what's wrong with you?
Well, how would you know that he said that? Tell a friend.
Just give us your email. Well, not us, but just right into the website on the right-hand side. Subscribe. I'll send you a nerd notice automatically whenever we post a new show. A nerdus.
A nerdus. Maria Menounos? All right. Well, that's going to do it for yet another wacky and crazy episode in the world of professional wrestling here. Main event anywhere in the country, I'd say. But in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Yeah, we off air?
Yeah, of course we're off air.
Okay. I'm worried. Maybe we shouldn't do this again next week. Just this thing where we say nobody could give a fuck about Kane. Because what if somebody actually gives a fuck about Kane out there?
There is no one who could possibly give a fuck about Kane. Isaac Yankum, maybe.
We Talk Podcast is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Take a trip to NYCC in October that takes you to more than just the convention. Think of it as New York City through a comic geek's eyes, including a trip to Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash comic book store. Edmonton residents can visit Happy Harbor on Free Comic Book Day to enter a draw for this very trip. Featuring travel packages going all over the world and covering all the genres your inner geek would ever want to embrace, including tours designed around zombies, sci-fi, comic books, and anything else you could ever imagine. Geek Nation Tours is the number one site to embrace geek culture while seeing the coolest places in the world.